33. Philip and Tyler were stunned. Martin, Gwen, and Roy didn't have that luxury, since they still had to fend off the pre-programmed attacks of their friends. Philip had come out of wait mode and swung on Martin immediately after Jimmy left the system. Gary seemed on the verge of passing out. Gwen slapped him as hard as she could between blocking his sword strikes, but if having his body attempt to kill a good friend wasn't enough to keep him awake, a few slaps didn't have much chance. Todd allowed himself half a second to smile over Jimmy's departure, then turned his attention to the strange woman sitting at his computer.
"Stop that!"
he shrieked. Britt paid him no attention, focusing on moving through the remaining windows as fast as she could, looking for someone, anyone other than Jimmy, to liberate. If Todd had been thinking, he'd have used his powers to stop Britt, or he might have teleported to the desk to stop her, or he may have put his energy into sprinting there. It wasn't that far, after all. Todd was not thinking. Todd shouted,
"Hey, get away from my stuff!"
He moved with a strange gait that was half jogging, half jumping up and down, waving his arms, trying to get Britt's attention.
"You! I said stop! Stop messing with my stuff!"
Roy, still fending off Tyler's blade, hissed,
"You had to open your mouth. If you hadn't said that, he might have helped us."
"No," Tyler said. "If that was enough to put him off, he'd have found another excuse."
At the same time, Philip asked Martin,
"Extraction? Penthouse? You know that spell?"
"No," Martin said, blocking a swing with arms that were clearly fatigued. "But I have other things to worry about right now."
Todd was standing at the entrance to his weird three-fourths of an apartment, yelling up at Britt. She was still ignoring him. She found a window that looked exactly like the screen that had restored Jimmy's powers, only this one featured Tyler. She scanned for the drop-down menu she'd used before. Todd shouted,
"Hey! Hey!"
He stopped. The anger drained from his face. He said,
"Hey,"
this time at himself. He followed the power cord from the back of the monitor down to the power strip under the desk, which was just below his eye level. He yanked the cord from its socket. The screen went dark before Britt could get the mouse to the proper menu. She cursed and looked under the desk. Todd smiled at her as he pulled his tablet from his bag, turned it on, poked at the screen, and disappeared. Britt heard a rustling behind her. She turned and saw Todd standing over her. He had his tablet in both hands and was wound up to swing it at her head like a wrestler with a metal folding chair. The world seemed to go silent and still. Britt saw the look of murder in his eyes, saw the metal back of the tablet waiting to strike. She was distracted by the fleeting thought that she was going to die with an Apple logo pressed into her forehead, which pleased her a bit. Britt lifted her left arm to shield her head and readied her right to punch Todd in the face once his tablet was clear of his head. She waited for a fraction of a second, anticipating the impact on her forearm. It didn't come. He still hadn't swung.
"Has he lost his nerve?" Britt wondered. "Is he toying with me?"
"Why don't you do it already?"
Britt asked. Todd remained still, his face a mask of rage and hatred. But a voice from above and behind Britt said,
"He can't."
Britt stood. Todd remained frozen, only his eyes moved. She turned and saw that the fighting had stopped. Philip and Tyler seemed to have control of their movement back. Philip cradled his left arm with great care. Gary remained frozen like a statue, poised mid-thrust. Gwen, Martin, and Roy were all exhausted, but in one piece. Britt asked,
"What happened?"
None of the others spoke, but the voice, Jimmy's voice, said,
"I've saved you. Surprising though that clearly is."
There was a terrible rumbling sound. The roof of the circular chamber shook. Cracks ran the ceiling circumference. Then the whole thing lifted into the air like an immense manhole cover. What had been a large room was now a hole in the ground. They looked up at the circular disk of rock that hung in the air above them. Below it, standing at the rim, was Jimmy. His hair and beard were neatly trimmed. He wore a slim black suit. Behind him, the lava fountain, The billowing clouds of smoke and soot and the sullen gray clouds were all frozen, as if someone had paused the world. He waved his hand, and the former roof flew away like a carelessly discarded frisbee. Jimmy took a single step. His stride was relaxed and casual. In that one step, he covered all the space between where he started, on the far rim of the crater, to where he landed, in what was left of Todd's office, next to Britt and Todd. Jimmy brought his face in close to Todd's.
"What do you think?" he asked. "How do you like my version of your macro? I haven't implemented it the same way, of course. There are differences. For instance, the force fields that hold you were created automatically when I targeted you in real time."
Jimmy motioned to Britt.
"I could immobilize her in an instant, right now."
Jimmy smiled, glanced at Britt, saw the look on her face, then added,
"But I won't. I wouldn't. That was just an example. You can relax."
Britt said,
"Good."
But she didn't relax. Jimmy shook his head. He turned away from Todd and Britt. He looked down at the others. They were winded, wounded, and filthy, and not one of them seemed totally happy to see him. The only one who wasn't looking up at him wearily was Gary, whom he had deliberately left bound by Todd's force fields.
"Well, first things first," Jimmy said.
He stretched out his arm toward Gary and said,
"Quest extraction, Gary."
Gary disappeared.
"Where'd you send him?"
Tyler demanded. Jimmy closed his eyes and rubbed his temples. He opened his eyes and saw that Tyler was watching him like a hawk, ready to dodge at the slightest hint of trouble. Jimmy thought for a moment about how he must look, standing there with his fingers to his temples. He dropped his hands and said,
"Oh, come on! Who do you think I am, Magneto? I sent Gary to a doctor. Louisa, the doctor in Atlantis."
He turned back to Britt.
"She's good, right?"
Britt said, "Yeah, the best."
"Good,"
Jimmy said.
"Right, that's what Britt the Elder said."
Britt the Younger said, "That's where you went? To Britt the Elder?"
"Yeah, where else? Who would you go to for help?"
Britt chose not to answer that, but said,
"If you did anything to harm her, she'd have seen it coming a mile away," Jimmy interrupted. "Because you would find out right now that I'd done it, and she'd have remembered that before I ever showed up. Come on! You gave me my powers back, but I didn't know how fully or what the best thing to do with them would be, so I went to future you for help. Together we came up with a plan. Is that so hard to understand?"
Philip asked,
"Why didn't you just come right back the next instant then?"
He and the others had all limped closer to the edge of the apartment.
"Why leave us here fighting?"
Jimmy smiled down at him, then said,
"Showmanship."
Jimmy looked at the exhausted faces looking up at him and saw that his answer was insufficient. He sighed, then added,
"And if I'm being honest..."
Tyler snorted.
"If?"
"After your reaction to Britt here giving me my powers first, I wanted you all to appreciate my contribution a bit more. I knew I had to come back and help you, but I wanted you all to know that, really, I didn't have to. You see what I'm saying? I couldn't just leave you all to die, but I could have."
"And we're glad you didn't,"
Roy said.
"But you clearly weren't in a hurry. You took the time to go to the barber and get a new suit."
Jimmy said,
"The suit's not new. I transported out, contacted Britt the Elder, let Eddie know what was going on. Then, yes, I cleaned myself up. I was going to be working with a lady, and I didn't want to do it wearing leather pants and a fur cloak that I looted from a corpse before going on a 2-week hike."
Roy was satisfied with the answer, but not so much so that he actually said anything. Jimmy looked down at the group. They looked up at him, as if he were on a stage. He asked,
"Before I continue with the business of saving your skins, are there any more questions?"
Martin raised his hand. Jimmy said,
"Yes?"
"The trigger phrase you used to escape? Extraction penthouse? What is that? It's not any spell I've ever heard. It sure isn't one of the spells we're allowing you to use while you're on probation."
Jimmy sucked his teeth for a second, then said,
"Yeah... I guess I should come clean about that. Remember 3 years ago when I told you that I'd voluntarily strip myself of all my powers? Yeah, that wasn't true. I had taken the time to set up my own shell program you all didn't know about.
So, when you said you had no powers, you actually had all of your powers?
Philip said, unimpressed.
No, Jimmy said. Not at that time. But I've added to it since then.
When?
Martin asked.
You haven't had access to any computers. In your time, Jimmy said. I've been zipping back to modern times on a regular basis to work on my shell program.
How often?
Roy asked.
Once a week. And I'd stay there for a week. It's like I'm bi-coastal, but with time. I've been splitting my time between Lead Church and a condo I keep in the future. It's a good place to unwind and take a break from your constant suspicions.
Our well-founded suspicions, Tyler said.
But when were you doing this? Martin asked. We've been watching you 24/7.
Jimmy blushed slightly.
Not quite 24/7, Martin. None of you watched me when I went to the bathroom.
Todd, although held immobile, managed to make a muffled but unmistakably triumphant sound. Jimmy looked to Todd and said,
Ah, yes. Thanks for reminding me. Time to get back to business.
Jimmy stepped over to Todd, placed a hand on his shoulder, and said,
Extraction penthouse.
Jimmy and Todd both disappeared. The room was silent for a moment. Then Jimmy and Todd reappeared. Jimmy was wearing an entirely different, beautifully tailored suit. Todd was no longer paralyzed, but he looked drawn and haggard. His clothes were rumpled and sweat-stained. He looked as if he'd been to hell and back. Gwen asked,
Where did you take him?
Jimmy said,
I told you, my condo.
What did you do to him?
Gwen persisted.
I asked him some questions, Jimmy said, and I waited until he decided to answer.
He wouldn't give me food or water,
Todd blurted.
And he wouldn't let me sleep.
Jimmy smiled.
I said I waited, not that I waited patiently.
Philip said,
Jimmy.
Oh, spare me, Philip. He put us through the ringer. Then he was going to slice us up like deli meat. Before you leap to judge me yet again, don't you think you should ask me what information I got from him?
Philip said,
Yeah, I guess.
Jimmy smiled down at Philip. Philip looked up at Jimmy. Jimmy tilted his head to the side, questioningly. Philip rolled his eyes. Jimmy smiled a bit wider. Philip exhaled loudly, then said,
Okay, fine. What information did you get from Todd?
Jimmy said,
There, thank you. Was that so hard?
Philip said,
Yes.
Jimmy said,
Splendid. I got the password to his encrypted hard drive. It's Hot Toddy. You can see why he resisted telling me. Anyway, on the drive, you'll find all the details of how he did all this, all the footage of the quest that he's gathered, and the exact telemetry of precisely how, when, and where Jeff died. If you're clever enough, you should be able to think of a way to save him. If you're not, the Brits almost certainly will be.
Good, Roy said. Well done, Jimmy.
Jimmy said,
Thank you. See, everyone? That's how it's done.
Yeah, Roy said. So, now what do we do with Hot Toddy over there?
Jimmy looked at Todd and said,
We don't do anything with him. We don't have him. I have him, and I have to decide what to do with him. Todd, what do you think I should do with you? Should I send you back to prison where I found you? Or should I strand you somewhere in the past?
Todd glowered at Jimmy.
It doesn't matter. Lock me up wherever and however you like. I'll escape again like I did before. And when I do, you're all dead. No playing around this time. Just a big dirt nap. All of you!
Jimmy said,
Ah, so it's the third option.
He placed a hand on Todd's shoulder and said,
Execution, Todd.
Todd disappeared. No fanfare, no light show. He just blinked out of existence. Britt recoiled in horror. Being that close when one person killed another in cold blood repulsed her to her core. Jimmy held up his hands and said to Britt,
You're safe. I'm not going to hurt you or anyone else. I knew you'd react like this. You as Britt the Elder, you were expecting me, but you didn't seem at all pleased to see me.
Gwen shouted,
You killed him!
Jimmy turned back to the group, hands still raised.
Yes, I did. What was the alternative, Gwen? Leave him alive? That's what we did last time. That's what you all did with me. Are you happy with how either of those decisions worked out?
We don't do that, Jimmy, Gwen cried. We don't kill people.
That's pretty much what I was just saying, Gwen.
We aren't murderers.
No, Jimmy said. You're not. None of you are murderers.
Tyler asked,
And you are a murderer, Jimmy? Is that it?
Jimmy laughed.
Tyler, that is one hell of a question for you, of all people, to ask me. Although in my defense, this is the first time I've deliberately killed. Rickard's Bend was an accident, and when I tried to kill the rest of you, I failed.
Well, good for you, Tyler said. I'm sure you're very proud.
No, I'm not.
Jimmy exhaled deeply.
This is the worst I've ever felt, but I did what I knew was right. I don't blame you for reacting this way, all of you, and I won't blame you for celebrating after my next trick.
Why?
Tyler asked.
What are you gonna do?
Jimmy said,
You don't know? It was your suggestion, Tyler. I came back to you all because I wanted to somehow make amends for what I'd done. But you pointed out that there are some things that are just too bad to ever make up for.
Like ghosting me,
Tyler said.
Well, yes, that, Jimmy said, and accidentally killing an entire village of innocent people. You know, Tyler, I'm not the only one who has some selfishness issues to work through. Anyway, you told me your distrust runs so deep that the only way you all would ever accept that I truly have seen the error of my ways would be for me to go to my grave, having never harmed any of you again.
Tyler said,
Yeah, that's about right.
Jimmy lifted his chin, striking what he calculated to be a noble pose.
That, friends, is what I intend to do.
Philip said,
Your next trick is that you won't hurt us.
Martin mumbled,
Kind of an anticlimax.
No,
Jimmy said.
I'm going to deliberately end my existence. I will prove my good intentions and give all those I've wronged peace of mind by removing myself from the equation permanently.
A thick silence descended while everyone wrestled with the implications of what he just said. Finally, Philip broke the silence, saying what everyone else was thinking.
No, you won't.
Jimmy smiled benevolently.
Yes, Philip, I will.
This is the most transparent lie you've ever told,
Jimmy said.
Is not?
Philip asked.
It's not transparent, or it's not a lie,
Jimmy said.
Whichever,
Philip said.
Jimmy, you're not going to kill yourself. You like yourself far too much for that. This is just a chance for you to get away from us, since it's clear we aren't going to give you what you want. It won't work anyway. We have the file, Jimmy. Go ahead, fake your own death. We can track you.
You can try,
Jimmy said.
And the file will tell you that I'm dead, but that won't satisfy you. You'll realize that I've had 3 years of unsupervised time and that I could have used it to find a way to mask my entry in the file, making it appear that I'm deceased when I'm not. You can never be sure, one way or the other. So I suggest you don't look in the first place.
Jimmy looked down at the faces of the people he'd just saved and saw a sea of skepticism. He glanced at Britt, who was glaring at him with her arms folded. Jimmy laughed.
You don't believe me, do you?
Martin said.
No.
Jimmy laughed again.
So you see my point.
Jimmy laughed alone yet again, then let out a heaving sigh.
Okay. Look at it this way. There are three ways this situation can play out. The first option is that I'm telling the truth, and I'm going to actually do it, in which case you will never see me again.
Philip said,
Go on.
Jimmy said,
The second is that you're right, and I am going to fake it. That might be a problem if I were bent on revenge, but I've had every chance to kill all of you several times over and haven't. Clearly, this would just be a play to get out of your lives and get on with my own. In that case, if I do it right, you'll never see me again.
And the third option?
Philip asked.
Jimmy said, It's the same as the second option,
Only I screw up and we bump into each other at some point in the future. If that happens, now instead of being mad at me for having tried and failed to kill all of you, you can be mad at me for having not really tried to kill myself.
Philip said,
I think I can manage to be mad at you for both things.
Gwen said,
Jimmy, nobody wants you to kill yourself.
Maybe not, Jimmy said, but nobody wants me around either.
Philip smirked.
You're really going to do this, aren't you?
Jimmy went back into his practiced, noble pose.
Yes, I am.
Philip smiled.
By do this, I mean play out this ridiculous charade.
Jimmy pretended not to hear. He closed his eyes and held up a hand to silence all argument and stop any movement.
Don't try to stop me.
Roy said,
We won't.
Jimmy put one hand over his heart and reached the other hand up toward the heavens. He parted his lips to speak, then said,
Oh, by the way, once I'm gone, just plug the monitor back in. Britt was just about to give Tyler his powers back when it was unplugged. It'll be easy for him to get the rest of you out of here.
Britt started to speak, but Jimmy held up a finger and shushed her. He resumed his death pose. He parted his lips again to speak, but Philip interrupted.
Jimmy,
Philip said.
I get what you're doing here, and I'm grateful to you for coming back to help us.
If by help you mean save, Jimmy said.
But,
Philip said,
if we should ever meet again, it won't be pleasant.
Jimmy said,
Believe me, I know that.
Philip and Jimmy shared a small chuckle. Then Jimmy again struck his death pose. He parted his lips and uttered his final spell.
Execute a noble end.
Everybody waited.
For James Sadler.
They all held their breath.
Who is known far and wide as...
Philip exhaled.
Merlin.
Everyone grew noticeably impatient. Jimmy blurted,
At one time.
A lightning bolt streaked down from the frozen sky, striking Jimmy and obliterating him in an instant. When the shock had worn off and the smoke had cleared, the spot where Jimmy had been standing was not marked with the expected crater or scorch mark, but rather with a tasteful tombstone, which read, James Sadler. He never betrayed us again.